Amen and amen. All right, y'all, give us something. Let's jump in it. Time has slipped by on us fast.
90:10.
90 in verse number 10. Psalm 90 in verse number 10. Psalm 90 is a psalm that Moses wrote, right? Yep. The song of Moses. Rich, rich, rich. The days of our lives. What does it say?
Are 3 score and 10.
3 score and 10. Everybody knows what that means, right? Yeah. What's 3 score? 3 score equals 20, 20, and 20, right?
Yeah.
So 3 score would be 60. Yeah. And then add 10 to that. So the score is 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I tell everybody I'm 5 years past my expiration date.
Oh, man. But it does say. If by reason of physical strength, right?
Yeah.
If by reason of strength they are 4 score,
yeah.
That would be 80 years. Yet their boast, their glory is only labor and sorrow. You figure 80 years worth of life, there's been a lot of labor and there's been a lot of pain to come along with that in those 80 years. So Moses is trying to keep us in proper perspective that there's more to life. Remember, God's loving kindness is better than life, right?
Yeah.
It's better than life. What will life do to you? Life will fail you.
Yeah.
Life will forsake you. Life will fool you. Life will make you a fool. But God's loving kindness, He and His loving kindness cannot do any of those things. So therefore, His loving kindness is better. No matter how grand, glorious, or grave life is, it's not as sweet as His loving kindness. His loving kindness is sweeter than life. Even the greatest and grandest of life cannot compare to the loving kindness of God, that eternal mercy. Something I would encourage you to think about, y'all been seeing this as you've been reading through. There's a couple things God always couples together. They're like two peas in a pod. Mercy and truth are always together. Y'all been noticing as you've been reading through? You can't separate them. Mercy and truth, they go together. Which one is speaking about the useful goodness of God. And then that's mercy. That's God's useful goodness, His mercy, that He shows us compassion in His mercy toward us, in His eternal loving kindness toward us, that God works with us in spite of us. That's that mercy. That's that useful goodness that is not dependent upon our goodness. That's not dependent upon our abilities and our righteousness. It's in spite of us, God provides a useful goodness. And His truth, is that which always guides us. That's that useful guidance of God. So you can't have one without the other. You don't get God's useful goodness without God's useful guidance. Mercy and truth are always coupled together, just like how righteousness and peace are always coupled together.
Amen.
When a person is right with God, that person experiences the peace of God. Just like when a person receives the mercy of God, they also receive the truth of God. As I've shared with you before, that we always see God when He takes us from something, He always delivers us what?
To something.
That's that mercy and truth at work. He delivers us in spite of us, but because He's shown us His mercy, now He's going to give us His truth. And that truth's going to guide us. That truth is going to give us our strength. That truth is going to come in the form of wisdom and knowledge. That's where that truth's going to come, and that wisdom and knowledge is going to be our strength all the days of our life. But you can't get to that truth except through the mercies of God, of that useful goodness in spite of us. And we learn, like in Psalm 89, where God says, regardless of what David or his descendants do, I will never take my loving kindness off of them. That my useful goodness will always be available, the tender mercies of God. Because Psalm 89, helps us so much with this idea of that eternal persevering security that comes with being made right through the grace of God. And when you're made right through the grace of God, and you see mercy and truth are two products of God's grace. God is gracious to us on the merit of Jesus. Therefore, he can provide a useful goodness to us in spite of us, and then a useful guidance to lead us into the path that he chose for us to walk in. That's why you constantly see David and these other writers saying, if God, if you don't show us your mercy and you don't show us your way, we are as useless as dead men. We have no value to anybody on this earth without your mercy and your truth. That's why Psalm 25 says all the paths of God have his mercy and truth in it. There's not a single path that God leads us down that doesn't have mercy and truth applied to it, because God's goodness becomes our goodness and God's guidance becomes our guidance of what we live by. It's a Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. In his mercy, God says, trust the Lord. Amen. With all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. Acknowledge him. He's merciful to you. You present yourself to him. He's given you his useful goodness. Now he's going to guide you. And when you acknowledge him in all your ways, he will direct your path. It's that mercy and truth. And when you are, when in faith we recognize his mercies and his truth, then we are walking in righteousness, and then God gives us a peace, that perfect peace that guards our hearts and minds so that we can walk in confidence and at peace with him in what we're doing. It's that assurance that he gives us that we're walking in it. Just like two peas of the pod is grace and faith. Grace only answers to faith. You can't approach God any other way than through his grace, by believing and trusting in him and his grace. So the only way to please God is by faith, right?
Yeah, amen.
So the only way to have connection with the Lord is by taking God at his word, and only through God's graciousness that he speaks to us and guides us and gives us his useful goodness. But see, faith and grace go hand in hand. That's why the New Testament tells us you are saved by grace through faith. That's the only connector is the means of the grace of God that connects us to the God of grace when we operate in faith. We're taking God at his word. Now, what that faith's going to do is provide an assurance of hope in our life that we anticipate everything God promised to us. Now, we don't know every promise. We don't know everything he's going to do. But the person that's walking in faith, the faith that they're holding to, does make it a sure hope that we're clinging to. So what we've been noticing on several different occasions through the Psalms, mercy and truth keep going hand in hand. Even in Proverbs, remember he said, look, don't let mercy and truth forsake you.
Right.
Don't let it forsake you. Why? We all need God's useful goodness, and we all need God's useful guidance. We need his goodness and we need his guidance. That all comes through his grace when we're trusting him and taking him at his word. Man, he guides us. The product is we can walk in his righteousness, the way of God. And as a result, God gives us peace. We can be at peace. That's that steadfast, confident assurance that I know who I'm walking with. I know where he's leading me. I know what he's doing with me, and I'm going to follow him. I don't know everything, but I know enough. I know enough. I know enough because he's shown me what he sees. And I see it, I agree with it, and I act on it in faith. So mercy and truth, righteousness and peace, grace and faith. They're peas in the pod. Same way with wisdom and knowledge. God gives us knowledge, and then that knowledge is applied through wisdom. That is knowing what to do with the knowledge you have. And that becomes our strength. And you can find these woven through the entire Word of God. They're woven all through it. All through it. Everywhere we turn. Look at Isaiah 33. Let me just illustrate it right here with that. And we'll jump back to the Psalms real quickly. Yeah, Isaiah, just go over past Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, you'll be in Isaiah. Look in Isaiah 33. This is one of those you want to remember. We've jumped in at a time or two through the years just to show this idea of recognizing what we need, and because we can see what we need, we wait upon the Lord.
Amen.
We wait. And because we have peace, we can rest as we wait.
Yes.
He says in verse number 2, O Lord, be gracious to us. We have what? What's Isaiah 33, 2 say? O Lord, be gracious to us. We have what?
Waited.
We have waited. We're restfully waiting. We are anticipating. Those that fear the Lord wait upon the mercy of God. We need God's useful goodness. Notice what he says. Be, the word, the translations use the word there, but the idea is our. Be our arm when?
Every
morning. Our salvation or deliverance also in times of trouble. You see, you don't want to wait till you're in trouble, though God is a present help in trouble. But that's not how you want to live, only seeking him when you find yourself in trouble. No, you wait on him, and every morning you want him to give you his strength. You want him to be your useful goodness, your strength. You want him to be your mercy and your truth every morning. You don't want to forsake that, because that's going to guide you. And as he guides you, you're going to find trouble's going to come to you. It's just inevitable, because as we learned, as we talked about Sunday night, remember, the good thing is often a hard thing.
Yeah.
Didn't we see that? Yeah. We see Joshua and him going into the land of Canaan. That was a hard thing, but it was a good thing. And no good thing that God had spoken failed. It came to him. All right, look in verse number 6. Look in verse number 6. This is the idea of this strength that we're talking about. This is where truth comes to play. This is how truth is made known, what it is. God's truth to us is both knowledge and wisdom. And he said, wisdom and knowledge will be the what? Stability, your stableness. That's what's going to keep you grounded. That's what's going to guide you. Stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. For the fear of the Lord is his treasure. See, when you fear him, you wait on him. And when you wait on him in faith because of the fear of the Lord, you rest in that. What comes with that, Miss Pat? Peace. That's why you can rest and wait. You know God is merciful. What, in spite of us and the mistakes we've made, the mess ups, the sins, the transgressions, and the iniquity, as we've been reading through the Psalms that they all participated in, you know that God is good to you and gives his useful goodness in spite of you. That's where we wait on his mercy.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
We wait on his mercy. You can't take the fear of God away from his mercy, and you can't take waiting from the fear of God as you wait upon his mercy. That's who fears God. Those that wait upon his mercy. What's his mercy? His useful goodness toward us in spite of us. And then what does God do? He then usefully, purposely, intentionally guides us through his knowledge and wisdom. And that's why he puts wisdom before knowledge, because wisdom is superior to knowledge, because you can have knowledge and not operate in wisdom.
Amen.
But all knowledge God gives to you is to be applied in wisdom. Amen? So that's why he says the important thing is wisdom. So everything God teaches you in the truth is to be applied in wisdom, wisely. And that only happens when we give place to the Lord. And when we give place to God in the fear of the Lord, we wait patiently upon him, because we see his way as being our guidance in everyday life. That's going to be our strength. That's going to be the strength of our salvation. That's going to be the stability of our lives. Apart from his wisdom and knowledge, his truth, and his mercy, we're unstable people.
Amen.
Have you ever recognized when you neglected your time seeking God in the morning? and hearing from him and having a word from him? Have you recognized how unstable you become with people and circumstances and situations? Why? You've neglected the very thing that makes you stable. That's hearing from him and following his lead. So anytime you recognize that your frustrations are coming to you more quickly than in days gone by, and you're being bothered by everything and everyone, and you're not living on mission for the Lord, you have neglected the very thing that makes you stable. And that is intimacy with him and hearing from him and walking with him.
Amen.
You get back to that. That's what the scriptures would say. What? Cast off the sin that so easily ensnares you and get your eyes back on who? Jesus. And you'll be able to run the race that he set before you. And you'll be able to run it. You'll be able to walk through it. And you'll soar on eagle's wings. You'll do impossible things. You'll do what he's given you to do. And then you'll be able to bless people as he blesses people in this world. And that's where, let's go back. Anybody got any questions on this? That is a solid, if you want to remember anything, Isaiah 33, these two pictures here ought to be what we turn around and say, Lord, let my life look like this, where I'm asking you every day, I'm waiting on you every day, and I know that you're gracious to me from day to day, and I need to hear from you. I need you to guide me. David so much as said, if you don't do this for me, I'm of no value to anybody on this earth. And then you know what starts happening when we're living in this place? We start doing like what Psalm 96 says. What does Psalm 96 say? Sing a what? A new song unto the Lord. And when you're singing this new song unto the Lord, he says, look, let's go back and look at 96. 96, 97, all these, man, look out. They bless me. They bless me. Yeah, look at 96 real quick. This is where we want to start picking up on and what we want to be careful not to miss. Good indications. What's verse 1 say of 96? Oh, sing to the Lord what? What's a new song? Just a fresh song. A fresh song of praise. Why is it fresh? Because there's a fresh work going on in your life. There's a fresh presence of the God going on in your life. What's the following? Sing to the Lord all who?
The earth.
The earth. That's everything. Let everything, all the earth, sing unto the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Well, we around people that don't see his salvation. People who don't sing a fresh song. People who are not singing his praises. But you see, we are in a position, as Psalm 90 would say, let this praise be so enraptured in us that people see us praising him. And they don't understand where this salvation comes from. That's where we become witnesses. So when they ask you, well, why you got so much hope? You tell them why you have hope and what God has done for you. They had to recognize it somewhere. Psalm 40 would say, he took us out of the pit of miry clay and he put a song in our mouths that others would see. They'd see it, Brother Shannon.
Amen.
They'd be able to see it. Verse 3, declare his glory among the nations and his wonders among all peoples. That does not give any limitations. That is saying, live a lifestyle of singing of the fresh presence and the fresh purpose and the fresh powers and the fresh passions God's putting in your heart from day to day. But see, if you ain't waiting on him in the morning, you're not seeking him, wanting him to be your strength in the morning, you're not going to praise him in the day. Matter of fact, you're going to start complaining about what's going on in your life rather than praising him and thanking him. And then you just join in with a whole world around you that's murmuring and complaining about everything rather than praising him for where he has you in life. Amen. Look what he goes on to say here. Verse 4, for the Lord is... not that he will be, not that he might be, not that he could be, but that the Lord is what?
Great.
No matter our circumstance. Right. The Lord is what? Great. And if he's great, and he is, what does he say? And greatly to be praised. How many of us, Brother Shannon, you wearing a shirt right now? I see it. Why do you think Dickies puts that on that sleeve right there? It says genuine, as we would say down there in Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
Genuine Dickies. Who else has a shirt that's got some kind of logo or label on it? Carolyn's got Ole Miss written across hers. Why do you think they want to put that out there? That's free advertisement, right? Sure. Not only did you pay for that shirt, now you're going to go advertise for them for free.
Yeah,
you are going to put their name before the people.
They ought to pay me to wear it.
Look, but you paid them to wear it.
Yeah, that's right.
And now you are putting their name everywhere you go. You spreading the name Dickies and their genuine clothes, whatever it is, you putting their name before the people.
Yeah.
And that's then what our praise does. We are putting God's name when we're glorifying him because he's great and he's greatly be the praise. We're putting his name out before everybody in the world. If we want anybody to know anything, we want to know who he is. Amen.
Amen.
And the more I grow in grace, the more I get along the journey. I don't want to put nobody else's name out there more than I'm putting his name out there. And so I think about my clothes and what I'm wearing and the shirts I'm wearing and what they say and who they promoting.
Right.
Why? Because I'm putting their brand out there.
That's right.
And I want to put him out there in every way that I possibly can. And why? Because he's great. And if he's great, and he is, he ought to be greatly praised. Amen.
When I went to work today, I had my, he knows my name.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right, right.
Two people. I like that shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
They noticed.
Right.
So then I got to turn around and talk to them.
Yeah,
a minute.
Yeah.
I didn't waste their time.
Yeah.
But I got the chance to.
Just an opportunity.
And so I took the opportunity.
To put his name out there.
To say.
That's right.
You know,
hey, our God is great.
I asked him, does he know your name?
Yeah, does he know? Yeah, a great opportunity.
And he goes, well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I hope
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We just moved on.
That's right. Just a quick opportunity to be able to testify to his name. Mentioned Saturday, we rode over to Livingston, and I asked honey here on the way back, and said, let me buy you a couple chicken strips. So I walked into Jack's over there. When I walked in, there was a family walking out with a whole crew of them, and the couple dads were still in the building, and when I walked through the door, one of them said, man, I like that shirt. And it was just a shirt I had lounging around, but it said, bind my wandering heart to thee. You know, the hymn.
Yeah.
The hymn. Bind my wandering heart to thee. But it, like you say, it just something gravitated toward that. But look what he says real quick. I'm just going to jump real fast. In verse number 10, he says, this same 96, say among the nations, this is where we live, the Lord reigns, the world also is firmly established. You don't have to fret about what's coming. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. We got a judge that's going to judge right. And he's already given us indication of that. When you think about Acts chapter 17, he gave Jesus. And he's going to judge everybody by Jesus. And then notice what verse number 11 says. Anytime you see those phrases, let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the fields be joyful and let all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. And he did that in Christ. He's come. Now, is he still yet to come? Of course he is. But in reference to this, he's come.
Yeah.
And he's judged the earth, and he's given the earth a standard by which he's going to judge everybody else by, and that's his son. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. You can just put that by that, Acts 17:30-31. You can just say it's Jesus. That's what he's going to judge everything by, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But the words let, now this is the key, let the heavens, let it, let. The point is that when we understand God is great and he is greatly to be praised, and we know all the nations need to hear of his praise, he's saying all creation is giving glory to God. Yeah. You join in harmony with them and don't get in creation's way of what it's doing, meaning complaining about the seasons and everything that's going on, for it is declaring the glory of God. Now, it can't point in the Jesus. That's why you here.
Yeah.
But you get in harmony with them.
Amen.
Because everything you see happening is giving glory to him. You join in. No different than when Jesus said, if any man wants to come after me, let him, don't hinder him, let him what? Deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. Don't try to talk him out of losing his life for me. And don't try to overtalk what's going on in the creation around you to dumb it down, because it's lifting up its branches and praising God and giving him glory. You want to be in harmony with it.
Amen.
And you want to be in harmony. Why? And see, there's always room for a fresh song. Amen? For fresh praise. That's the idea. For fresh praise of giving him glory. Well, man, look, all these just bless us. You can't have truth unless God sows the light in you. And that, look, Psalm 97:11, that's what he says. Who is light sown for?
The righteous.
See, those who are trusting God, who are at peace with God, walking with him, they're seeing creation in its glory, giving glory to God. It takes light to see that. And if you can't see the praises of the world, that all the world should be giving praise and glory to God, starting with me, I'm walking in the darkness. I need light. And light is sown for the righteous. And then what is also sown on top of that? What's verse 11 say? Gladness is sown for who? The upright in heart. Now here's the key. In proportion to the light that I receive and agree with would be the proportion of the gladness of my heart.
Amen.
In proportion to the light that I'm welcoming from the Lord, that he's revealing to me, that I'm believing, agreeing, and seeing and acting on, will be in proportion and recognized in the gladness of my heart. That's how it's going to come forth. It's going to show, because remember, when God sows something, he reaps something.
Amen.
And he always reaps more than he sows. So if he's sowing light, he's sowing light so we can see light. And as Psalm 36 said, it's in his light that we actually see light. So it's with him that light is properly seen, and he plants that light in us, and when he does, that's going to manifest in gladness and joy, and we're going to be able to see the stars and the moon and the clouds and the sun and the winds and the rains and the storms and the whatever it is, we're going to be able to see them in what God designed them for, giving him glory, and we're going to be able to point people to him in harmony with what they're doing. They just can't tell the world who he is. That's where we come to play. And that's why God says he's elevated our demonstration of praise even above that of creation. So when he uses the phrases, let him or let them, that is saying, don't hinder what they are doing in giving glory to God. Matter of fact, you play your part and you will go in harmony with what they're doing. And God will use both of you to declare his glory to the world. You'll just be able to define it better than creation can.
Amen.
You'll be able to define it where creation can't. Amen?
Amen.
That's why if you look in Psalm 90 real quick, look in Psalm 90 and verse number 16. If light has to be sown and God is the one who sows it, gladness has to be sown and God's the one who sows it. Look what 16 says in that same prayer we started out with of Moses. Moses says, Lord, let your business, let what you're doing, your work, let it be unveiled. Let the curtain be opened up. Let the light shine on it so that we can see it. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Lord, establish the work of our hands for us. Lord, establish the work of our hands. That's saying, show us your work and then establish us to walk in that work so that those who watch us and follow us can see your glory. And they won't see your glory if you're not putting gladness within us with the work you've given us to do. Amen?
Amen.
That's how all this plays in. What do we see? We see what? Mercy and truth. God's useful goodness and his useful guidance. We see righteousness and peace. We're right with God. We have the peace of God. We see grace and faith at work. God graciously granting his mercy and truth to us. We believe in it, trust in it, and living and walking by faith. And now we live in the kingdom way, and as a result, God keeps us steadfast, confident, and assurance as we walk in it, giving him the glory for it. Man, these are all so rich and so good. So good. Anything else before we go tonight? Anything? Fresh songs of praise. '98 said the same thing, didn't it? Sing to the Lord a new song, a fresh work. And I tell you, every day is a fresh new day. Amen?
Amen.
Every day. Do you need his mercy? What's his mercies? His useful goodness. And they sure. Scripture calls them the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of David. And we find those in Jesus, don't we? He is those sure mercies. He's our useful goodness. David said in Psalm 16 and all over the place, he says, Lord, my goodness ain't nothing apart from you. So we need his useful goodness. But God never gives us his goodness without giving us his guidance. Because whatever he takes us from, he delivers us into something else. Isn't that what he did at the Jordan River?
Yeah.
He took them out of the wilderness and he delivered what? Them into the inheritance, into the promised land. He took them from a thing and delivered them to a thing. From a thing to a thing. From a thing to a thing. It's what he always does. From something to something. From something to... Or we can say it like this. From something to someone, or from someone, me, doing my thing, to someone, yielding to Jesus, doing his thing. That's the something to something. It's someone to someone. And praise God, he delivers us from us. And when we mess it up, what did David do? Man, he repented, looked back unto the Lord, and God's useful goodness never came off of him. And God would guide him and shepherd his life from there. And he just kept praising God. Stephanie was reading something to me the other day that she read. And it's just one of those people that have a hard time with men, you know, in our modern day. They just don't like men. They just get caught up with the culture and all that. And they refer to David in that little brief article. They said David was referred to a man after God's own heart when he was a young teenager. But God never mentions again when he grows up and he becomes a man, he becomes king, and he does all that he does. God never mentions again that he was a man after his own heart. I said, wait a minute, person, whoever that read that, they don't know the Bible. Because the New Testament in Acts chapter 13 tells us a couple things about David. Number one, it says David served his generation, his times. He served his people and he served them well. Now, did David do a lot of stuff? Man, he did some horrible things. But David's goodness wasn't based on himself, and he readily admit that not only did he not have goodness, not only did he do a lot of bad things, but God imputed righteousness to him. God made him right with him. Amen. And God's goodness was upon him. So it says that he served his generation well. And it also says that David was a man after God's own heart. And it doesn't mention all the bad that he did. It only tells us all the things that he did in faith. Why? Because what was the horrible things he did was dealt with in the judgment of the cross. Was dealt with even at times in David's own life. He did it. Remember his sons. That's what God said. He said the sword wasn't going to leave his home. There was consequences. Psalm 99 today. Moses said, "You're the God who forgives," but God took vengeance upon their deeds. Well, what the New Testament mentions is that David was a man of faith. He was a man that had a history of disobedience, but he had a greater history of repentance, of walking in faith with the Lord. So, yes, the New Testament, God reaffirms again and again, long after his death, long after every issue he ever did, that he characteristically was a man after God's own heart. And the word "after" means he was a man according to the heart of God. That is, God chose a man for himself, changed the man's heart, and then when he did anything that was godly, it was in accordance to the heart of God. That it was God at work in David and what he did. Now, did David do things independent of God? Yes, he did. That was where he sinned and where he messed up. But was God gracious in his forgiveness to him? Yeah. And you read Psalm 89 again, and you read in the light of these truths, you realize that God says, "I'll never take my loving kindness off of David. He's mine forever, ever, ever." And you can't help but read through these Psalms and recognize, yeah, David went through some struggles. David went through some problems. David dealt with some issues. But man, the man had a heart for the Lord, didn't he? Amen. He had a heart for him. No doubt about it. So to God be the glory. May we, because we all got a history of disobedience. Everybody here. But may our history of repentance be greater than the history of our disobedience. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We bless you. Thank you for your light. Thank you for your mercies and your truths, your righteousness and peace, grace, and a word to trust you on, a promise that you allow us to believe and trust and live and walk by faith, that you establish a hope in us that won't disappoint. You plant your love within us that we can labor and that labor not fail, that is done in love and, Lord, a faith that lasts and endures forever. So we praise you. We thank you so much for these. Thank you for these prayer requests, these testimonies. And we're thankful as we walk out today when we look at that sun and we look at these clouds and we look at these branches, this world we live in is lifting up praise unto you. And we want to walk in such a way that we can also be in step with what you're doing in this day through the Lord Jesus Christ. For you're going to judge this world by him, and people need to know who he is. And we're the ones who have the fortunate opportunity to go tell them of what you've done and what you're doing and what you've done in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a good night. Love y'all.